Having had a great gospel meeting, we're all fired up and ready to serve God faithfully and bring forth fruit to His glory. Well, this morning, before we get into our sermon, let me thank all you listeners for tuning in, as I usually say that at the end of the program. But I want to start out with this very fact. Well, we've been on the air here at WCBK for 10 years this month. So we want to express our appreciation for all you who are regular listeners and for those of you who are new listeners. We appreciate you tuning in, and we don't want to take you doing that for granted. We want to insist that you follow the Scriptures, because Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. Well, this morning, we're going to go to the Old Testament, and some verses, of course, from the New as well. But our study is dealing with animal sacrifices, and we'll need to spend several lessons covering this topic. Now, in Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Well, the lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament are innumerable. And our goal, as we want to begin a study this morning of the animal sacrifices found in the books of Genesis and Exodus, and then one sermon, we want to answer several important questions about our study. So that's our goal. And this morning, we're going to look at the animal sacrifices that were done under the patriarchal dispensation. So let us begin in just a moment that study. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning. Yes, sir, to PFE, and we know that stands for Preparing for Eternity, which is the most important thing we could be doing. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes to study, of course, God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Now, something else to mention, we are always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in doing that, please contact us and we'll set it up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, which has our radio sermons going back a number of years, and, of course, our bulletins and the articles that are in the bulletin and information about our congregation you'll find there. So, the address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study this morning, as we're going to be looking at the animal sacrifices done under the patriarchal dispensation. As we begin our study, I want to emphasize these three eternally important statements. Number one, the problem of sin brought about the need for blood sacrifices. Number two, but there is but one remedy for the problem of sin: the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us never forget that. Number three, therefore, animal sacrifices were pointing to the cross of Christ and could never take away sin. Let's go now to Hebrews 10, 1 through 10, and prove that. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So there it is. Yes, sir. Animal sacrifices were pointing to the cross of Christ, but could never take away sin. So as we start out, we're going to the book of Genesis, and notice the animal sacrifices there. Well, Genesis 3, verse 21 is the first indication of an animal being slain. And in this case, it was God who did the slaying. God sacrificed an innocent animal, maybe two, to make Adam and Eve proper clothes. Notice, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Well, nothing is said about a sacrifice for their sins, but notice that the second personality of the Godhead, the Word who became flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, calls these innocent animals' blood to be shed for the purpose of covering the first man and woman. Yes, the aprons made out of fig leaves were not suitable. That's a lesson in modesty, is it not? We all need to hear that because of the warmer weather now. What has happened? The clothes have come off for a lot of folks without any shame. Well, back to our study here of animal sacrifices in the book of Genesis. I want to emphasize, yes, this sacrifice here of these innocent animals is pointing to the fact that later the Lord would become flesh to die to cover man's sins. Romans 4:7, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And that's also Psalm 32:1. And notice 1 John 2:2, And he is the propitiation for our sins, that is the appeasement. And notice, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And notice, as this is what is the center of the Holy Bible. The problem of sin and the answer, God's answer, was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go now to Abel. In the book of Genesis, Genesis 4:4, as Abel offered a blood sacrifice when he worshiped God by faith. And you'll notice, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, because Abel offered an authorized sacrifice. Well, I want to mention this because while I had the privilege of teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ in Murmansk, Russia for 7 years, I was with a wonderful opportunity to teach the Bible in the public schools. That's right, in the public schools. And they asked me to teach the history of a religion. Well, teaching the history of religion gave me the opportunity to begin with the book of Genesis. And I began with Abel as an excellent example of practicing true religion, but Cain, sad to say, was an example of practicing false religion because he offered an unacceptable sacrifice. But Cain, you see in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, in the Hall of Faith, chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We're talking about Abel today. But how did Abel know to offer the firstlings of his flock and burn the fat thereof? Well, remember the key here is by faith. How did his faith come? It was not a blind leap in the dark, of course not. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Let's really impress that into our minds. We must know what the word of God says in order to have true biblical faith. Any sacrifice made unto God without his authority is sinful. And when man leaves God's pattern and tries to establish his own righteousness, well, that is sin. Paul made that clear about his beloved kinsman in Romans 10:1-4. You can see how Paul desired for his kinsman to be saved, but yet the problem was they were seeking their own righteousness. Well, let's just read this. Romans 10:1-4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So we see then, yes, we need to know what the Word of God says, the New Testament pattern, and follow it. And of course, Colossians 3:17, we need to follow that. Notice, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name, that is the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's the way it is, isn't it? Well, let's go on. And notice Noah, still in the book of Genesis, studying about animal sacrifices. Noah made an altar to sacrifice clean animals upon, Genesis 8:20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now notice, only the clean animals were to be sacrificed. Yes, God had commanded Noah to take two of every kind, Genesis 6:19. And notice Genesis 7:2-3. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Well, how did Noah know which animals were clean? Well, he may have sacrificed clean animals, of course, before the flood. Yes, that's very, very possible. You see, in Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So there always has been a law. And you know 1 John 3:4, we all should, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, of course, we're under the law of Christ. The Israelites and the strangers that became part of the nation of Israel, they were under the law of Moses. But now, before the law of Moses, there was a patriarchal law, which, of course, Noah was under. And this would continue for the Gentiles until, of course, Christ being sacrificed on the cross. So man has always been under law. Now, we need to ask this question. Why is blood so important? Noah and his sons were essentially told life is in the blood, Genesis 9:4-6. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And this is made very clear under the law of Moses, Leviticus 17:10-11. So blood was and is forbidden to be eaten under all three ages of the Bible, patriarchal, Mosaic, and of course now the Christian age, the last age. As we should know, blood supplies every tissue the life-giving ingredients. So, need to understand that. But let's go on in our study of animal sacrifices in the book of Genesis. Now, let's go to Abraham. He built altars to worship God wherever he traveled. Genesis 12:7-8, 13:4, verse 18, chapter 22:1-14. You know, when Abraham asked God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit, talking about the promised land? Well, God told Abram at that time, he was Abram. God changed his name to Abraham. Names are important, of course. So God told Abram, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Genesis 15:8-9. Well, of course, this would later be used in the Mosaic age. Well, something very important in the life of Abraham was when God tried him. And you see, the trial that Abraham was given was to take his only son by Sarah, Isaac, and sacrifice him. Yes. And when Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, by Sarah, we know what happened, do we not? We should. God provided the sacrifice. Remember that? Genesis 22:8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Well, Isaac was wondering, where's the sacrifice? Well, Abraham didn't say, well, you're it. No. He might have had a hard time. I don't know that for sure. Taking Isaac. We don't know if Isaac would have been willing for that or not, but he was put there on the altar and didn't question at that time. But notice chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Well, that shows everything we do is not worship, does it not? As they were going up to worship God, as we know the scriptures make that clear. So Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, by Sarah. And here's, I think we can see clearly the answer to the question, why was Abraham willing to sacrifice Isaac? That's how strong his faith was. Well, we go to Hebrews again, chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. And you see here, by faith, Abraham, what kind of faith? Blind leap in the dark? No, sir. Strong faith that came from the Word of God. Notice, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he knew God would raise him up from the dead. There it is. Now that's biblical faith. And going on in our study of animal sacrifices in the book of Genesis, we go to Genesis 26, 25, chapter 31, 54, 33, verse 20, 35, verse 1, and chapter 46, verse 1. And we'll see Isaac and Jacob also built altars to worship God, upon which they would have offered, that's right, animal sacrifices. So we don't have the time to go and read every one, but you'll want to study those. Again, that's Genesis 26, 25, 31, 54, 33, 20, 35, 1, and 46, 1. And I also want to mention Job was a patriarch. Now, he's not in the book of Genesis, but the book of Job, of course, we know that he offered a burnt offering and burnt offerings, plural, for his children in case they had sinned and for his friends who had sinned. This is Job 1:5. And then you go to the end of the book, 42:8-10. So we find Job, of course, lived before the law of Moses was ever brought forth. So he was a patriarch. And you see that he was concerned about his children, not knowing whether they had sinned or not, but he was going to cover it did the right thing, of course. So as we close out our study for this morning and looking at animal sacrifices in the book of Genesis, and Lord willing, we want to continue our study next Lord's Day in the book of Exodus. But as we conclude this morning, let's again emphasize these three important statements. The problem of sin brought about the need for blood sacrifices. Number two, but there is but one remedy for the problem of sin. Let's never forget this. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Number three, therefore, animal sacrifices were pointing to the cross of Christ and could never take away sin, as we read Hebrews 10, 1 through 10. All animal sacrifices then ended at the cross. So, let's ask this question. Have you contacted the blood of Christ? Because that's the only answer for the problem of sin. And we need to know from the Word of God how we can contact the precious blood of Christ. Well, the first thing we need to do, of course, is hear the Word of God, as that is how our faith comes. Romans 10:17. Having learned the truth about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dying for our sins, we should be certainly believing that. Without believing that Jesus is the Christ, we'll die in our sins, John 8:24. Now, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're ready to repent, make a change of wills. We're going to do the will of God. Jesus said, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. And Acts 17:30 as well, where we must repent. Having repented and changed our will to do the will of God, now we're ready to make the good confession. Now, this is stating that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that good confession, that is unto salvation. So we're not saved at that point. Romans 10:9-10 make that clear. It's unto salvation. Now, here's the step where we're actually going to contact the precious blood of Christ. We're going to go underwater. Well, it's called baptism because it's baptizo means immersion. So we're completely immersed underwater. That's being buried in that watery grave. So the old sinful man will contact the blood of Christ, and then coming up out of the water, we're able to walk in newness of life. As you see in John 19:33-34, Jesus shed his blood. When? In his death. The Roman soldier pierced his side, and forthwith came out there blood and water. So that's very important to keep that in mind. When you go to Romans 6, you see in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So he shed his blood in his death. Now we're dying to sin under the water, contacting his precious blood. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. As we come up out of the water, we're walking in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's right. We thank you so much for listening today.